That the Spirit.
Good afternoon, Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good. I'm good. And yourself?
Excellent. Excellent. All better by being in a semester break. That's good.
A couple of weeks off.
What are you doing with your time, Peter? Are you getting a bit of golf in, or what's the vibe?
No. I'm writing a history of the Auckland City Mission. Ooh. And I'm filling in spare time when I have a chance to get some records read and some research done for it. It's a mighty interesting project.
That sounds very interesting. What's the end game there?
They've got their centenary coming up in the year 2020.
Okay.
And I need to produce a book for that. So that means finishing it next year.
Oh, keep us posted. Wow. That sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not what we're going to talk about
today.
So this is a story on Newsroom this morning about the...
Peter, are you currently wrestling a sort of a ghost under a raincoat or something? You've got a bit of noise going on.
Yeah, you can hear the rustling of my coat in the wind.
Oh, is it? Okay, sweet.
All right, I'll try to stop doing this.
This sounds good.
I'll stop walking.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So the story is from Newsroom of some, how would you describe it? Abuse of the religious professionals.
Yeah, definitely.
Criteria in under the immigration status, and I found this a very interesting story because I've understood that the whole religious professional status in migration is a bit fraught, really.
Right.
Because when does a religion need to bring in a professional? It's not at all clear where are the needs most precise, and how do you measure what the needs are, and who are the people who fulfill it. See, it's a very different story for Islamic communities.
There's some swindling going on, basically, isn't there?
Well, yes, if we're to believe the story, that in this case, these are the people who came in under the religious professional basis to find that, in fact, they were not going to be paid. They were expected to work as manual labourers, I think.
Ugh. Yeah. So do we know what groups were bringing in these religious experts but then using them as free labour?
Well, I'm not at all privy to what Newsroom's story is.
Yes.
But what I do know from other sources some time ago is that there really is a bit of an issue because a lot of religious groups do need professionals but are in no position to pay them.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, if they are going to have rituals, they need priests or monks or other religious leaders. But many of these groups are from, you know, refugee groups, from very, very poor areas. And so effectively, the religious professional comes in, has to lead the community into raising enough money to justify having their priest present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you see the problem? But, I mean, in effect, these communities may say, and I'm sure they do have a real need, but, I mean, how are we to require them to produce the money first before they do it and to agree on a terms and references? And perhaps that is where the abuse has happened in the Newsroom story, that these people were promised a certain amount of pay and conditions which hasn't been provided to them. But in lots of other cases, you know, communities are in process of formation. They're needing to build temples or places of worship. All over Auckland, you know, there's examples of monasteries and temples.
Yeah, I've been in a couple. It's fantastic. Some of the buildings are quite rad, actually.
Yeah, some of them are. And some of them are completely ramshackle old houses that have been adapted for the process and are completely impractical for being used as temples or monasteries. And then, see, the types of religion, the idea for many Buddhist communities is to bring in monks, and monks traditionally support themselves through begging. That's the accepted role for a monk. And if you go to Thailand or wherever, you will have seen exactly this, or indeed India, you will have seen people on the side of the road who are begging.
Mm.
So the idea that in some ways the community will commit itself to pay them a salary is trying to turn them into a Western-style worker.
Yeah, yeah. And if that's the case, then you have to sort of draft up a little a little agreement, yeah. Don't you? I mean, it's not just like a trust fall, is it, at that point? It's like a...
Well, I think this is another case where we don't entirely understand the nature of other religious communities other than the Christian ones. Mm. Although I might say...
I don't understand that one either, by the way.
There's an interesting side there, that the Catholic Church is totally dependent today on priests that have a vocation who come from either India or Vietnam or the Philippines. So, you know, in Auckland, approximately half of the priests came as migrants to be priests, certified, and the Catholic Church has an understanding with the immigration authorities that they can't find priests in New Zealand. Right. And yet, you know, you might say, well, this is quite odd because this is a very large community that can't raise its own priests.
Yeah.
Now, Peter, it seems like, yeah, as you're saying, there's not a lot that can really be done about this. As Big Henry mentioned, there weren't too many written agreements between both parties.
So the
Labor Department swooped in and went, well, we can't actually do anything because there's no agreement between the two groups as to what was actually going to happen. Payment-wise or for remuneration.
Someone's working the system pretty well, sounds like.
And especially as I think these religious communities tend to be, they come and go a bit. You know, they're migrant groups and refugees. They may be in one place and then 2 months later they may have moved to another place.
Yeah.
It's not practical for them to support the community. So, I mean... In some ways, what this kind of pressure forces them into is becoming highly organised. And I can see that the next step will be to, in effect, force them into a kind of a New Zealand version of a religion, which means that they have employees on contracts.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that is the right thing.
Do they need to form some kind of union for that?
There's an interesting question.
Sort of representative, because sort of...
Technically, at least most Christian ministers are not on employment contracts. They're individual people who are designated as paying their own tax and paying their own way. They're not employees.
So they're contractors, in a sense.
Yes, they're contractors because... In effect, the congregation wants the power to terminate their employment.
Right, it's easier to easier to separate yourself from the.
Yes, yeah. So that in fact, even in New Zealand, the notion of religious professional isn't the normal kind of employee-employer relationship. It's much more that they'd have to support themselves by charging fees for their services. And so that the Buddhist monk, unless they can make a lot of money by...
It's just not the vibe of the Buddhist monk, is it? To go cruising, okay, look, we can have a chat and I can...
It's completely contradictory to the Buddhist notion of a monk.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's a clashing of the different vibes, really, isn't it, that one?
And I was just surprised the story didn't bring that out this morning, so I thought it was worth trying to explore it.
Always, Peter, and we'll follow you right there.
Excellent.
Thank you kindly, and I'll catch you next week.
Excellent. Very good. I'll go back into the blustery wind.
Nice. Cheers, mate. Take it easy.
Bye.